1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, it is time for the podcast. Thanks for coming back. Hope you had a good weekend. Here we are. Happy Monday. We've got a big, big podcast in store for you, one I think you'll be highly entertained by. Mariners played the White Sox over the weekend, fell 2-of-3. We'll talk about the game yesterday as the Mariners salvaged the finale, so we'll dive into that in just a second. Here's what else we have. We have bullpen banter, which is always excellent. Charlie Furbush is back. Bullpen banter, it's excellent as always. That comes your way. The Week That Was is here as well, which I think you'll enjoy. And also a very fun conversation with one of the big personalities in the game of baseball today, Ken Hawk Harrelson, one of the voices of Chicago White Sox baseball. The White Sox in over the weekend, and it's a very entertaining conversation with the Hawk. So that comes up in a few minutes as well, and I think you'll really enjoy that. Also, some roster moves made over the weekend that I'm sure you've heard by now, but we'll hear what Lloyd McClendon had to say about those moves made over the weekend. A very busy weekend of Mariners baseball. A couple of real tough games in a row for the M's. They dropped the first two of the weekend. The bullpen really struggled, including a game on Saturday, where the Mariners had a two-run lead in the ninth. Carson Smith was in, coughed up two runs, tied the score, went into extra innings, and then the wheels really fell off as the White Sox poured it on and won game two to win the series. And it was up on Sunday for the Mariners to try and salvage the finale. Taijuan Walker on the hill. And the Mariners, they busted loose offensively, a big game offensively for the Mariners.
And now the pitch, swing and a drive, deep into the gap in right center field. Going, goodbye baseball! Holy smokes, Robinson Cano with his 14th home run of the year. A two-run shot to the bleachers in right center field. And it's now the Mariners 7, and the White Sox 1, number 14 for Robbie Cano.
That was a shot. That was mammoth. He really tagged that one into the seats, turned on it. Impressive. 14 home runs now. That equals his total from last season. And he continues to really stroke the baseball and stake the Mariners to a lead there. As the M's, they were pouring it on. 7-1 at that point. Nelson Cruz, too. He extends his on-base streak in the ballgame.
Banks comes set chest high and delivers. Swinging, this is scorched to right center field. It drops in there for a base hit. Sucre sprints into third. He makes a turn. The ball is all the way up against the base of the wall. Sucre scores right behind him. Jackson claps his hands. He crosses home as Nelson Cruz stands up with a two-run double. And the Mariners have taken the lead in the bottom of the third. It's a three-run inning. It's 3-1 Mariners.
So Nelson Cruz does it again. His on-base streak at 33 games going back to July 18th. Over a month in, he's batting .360 during the streak. He's scored 27 times, 9 doubles, and 16 home runs. He's also driven in 25. I mean, 16 homers in that stretch. That is out of control. And it just continues for Nelson Cruz. Big game for him, big game for the Mariners. Although the White Sox able to make things very close. Carson Smith comes on, gets a big out in the seventh inning after struggling the day before. He bounces back nicely, then goes 1-2-3 in the eighth. And then the Mariners call on their former closer, Tom Wilhelmsen, to try and get the final outs to close this one down.
And the 2-0 pitch, swung on, fly ball center field. Austin Jackson drifting back. He's there and makes the catch, and the ball game is over. And the Mariners salvage the final game of the three-game series with the White Sox. They win it this afternoon. A final score of 8-6.
8-6, the Mariners get the win. A lot to like about the game yesterday, including the bullpen. Wilhelmsen Carson Smith, they get it done. The offense, they churn a bunch of runs onto the board. So impressive game offensively for the Mariners. They salvage the finale. Now they'll take on the Oakland A's for three starting tonight at Safeco Field. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But a lot of talk about the bullpen over the weekend, including a tough loss on Saturday. After the game, a couple of moves made. Fernando Rodney DFA'd. Danny Farquhar sent down back to Tacoma after the ball game. And here's what Lloyd McClendon had to say about everything that went on after the game on Saturday.
I mean, you know, it's tough. You know, you're connected to players and you want them to do good. And it's very unfortunate when you have to tell them that, you know, you're making a career change. So that's never easy, you know, because you spend a lot of time with these players and, you know, you care for them. But you know, the fact is we're just not getting it done. I think that's a 17th blown save and 22nd loss in the opponent's last at bat. And yeah, that takes your toll on a team.
Rodney gave you a lot last year.
Just never worked for him. You know, it never worked for him. This is a funny game. You know, he was an all-star last year, did a tremendous job for it. I think he set a franchise record. And saves. It just did not work for ever, whatever the reason was this year. He just could not get it done. He could not get it going. And it's very unfortunate. And, you know, we wish him the best. What do you want me to do different? I think you've seen the effects of what happens when you lose your closer. It can be very devastating to a ball club. You know, Rodney didn't perform. All of a sudden, everybody's got to step up. And quite frankly, people are stepping up into positions that they're probably not quite ready for. So I'm not sure what you would like for me to have done differently. If you got some ideas, I'm open to them. So,
you talked pregame, though, about Carson maybe not being ready for this, but he's here now. You've moved him. I mean, can you pull him back, or do you have to stay with him? You have to ride this out? Because it seems like he's hit a wall.
Yeah, you know, you. This is not Monopoly. You know, this is the big leagues, and you don't keep flip-flopping. You know, he's in that role, and we're trying to build him and get him ready. It's tough. You're going to have some aches and pains with it. That's just the way it goes. But, you know, the fact is, you know, you say take him out of that position, then who do you put in? You know, and then when that guy doesn't work, who's next? You know, so now you're playing Monopoly. You know, that just doesn't work, you know.
There was the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, talking about everything that happened over the weekend. Keep in mind, Friday, the final score ends up being 11-4, but trailing 4-0, Felix against Chris Sale, and then Mark Trumbo comes through with a big three-run blast against Sale, who at that point was cruising into the seventh inning. He'd only given up one hit and just dealing 14 punch-outs in the game, and the Mariners get to him for three, so they slice the lead to one, but then Chicago explodes on the Mariners' bullpen. That was Rodney's, as it turns out, his last appearance as a Seattle Mariner. Four runs in the eighth for the White Sox, three runs in the ninth. They win that game 11-4, but again, the M's bounce back with an 8-6 victory yesterday to take the final game of the series. They pound out 11 hits along the way. Cano, a home run. He also walked twice, cruised the hit. Jackson picked up two knocks. Marte, again, some more good at-bats, picked up a base hit. Seager, Trumbo, Miller, Sucre drove in a run. They all picked up base hits. Zunino off the bench, a base hit. So contributions up and down for the Mariners as they take the final game of the series. So three more against the Oakland A's in this homestand. If you can believe it, these are the last games in August for the Mariners at Safeco Field. Wow, that is hard to believe, but that's the case. These three games, the last games in August at Safeco Field. Mariners and A's. Hisashi Iwakuma will take the mound tonight at Safeco Field. Going to be a fun night at Safeco as it's going to be a celebration of his no-hitter. Some cool-looking T-shirts will be given out as he'll take the mound, and the first time he has taken the mound since he threw the no-hitter at Safeco Field. So he'll take on the A's, and this should be a very fun night and a night to celebrate Iwakuma. Felix, by the way, will pitch day baseball on Wednesday against Oakland. So that's how that looks. So I think that wraps up our weekend look. Let's turn things over to Charlie Furbush now. It is Monday. It is Bullpen Banter time. Here it is.
Hey, we're back again with another edition of Bullpen Banter. Oh, it's nice to be back on the show. I am the host, Charlie Furbush. Today we have my fellow lefty down in the bullpen, Rob Rasmussen, or is it Rasmussen? People have been confusing on how they pronounce your last name.
It's Rasmussen.
Okay.
So, you know, it's if you're going to put it into three separate parts, it's going to be Ras, and then Ma, as in like a M-U-H, and then Sin, as in, you know, the seven deadly sins.
Let's just start it off. Where'd you grow up, man?
Grew up Pasadena, California, home of the Rose Bowl. Grew up there, basically lived there until I went to college. Really decided to branch out in college and ended up going to UCLA, which is about 30 minutes away from Pasadena, California. For those of you who don't know, still live in the area in the off season. Yeah, that's pretty much where I grew up.
So, I mean, was it a battle between UCLA and SC, like in the metro area? Like, what school do I go to? Or is there like a, you know, here, don't cross this line, that's SC, man. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, well, it was down between SC, UCLA, and Pepperdine. I was actually committed to USC before their one of their coaches left, which actually broke my mom's heart because she was a UCLA alum. So that was a tough year in the Rasmussen household for that. But then, you know, cooler heads prevailed and ended up going to UCLA.
Awesome, man. The Bruins. Not bad, not bad. So you spent, what, 3 years there or 4 years?
3 years there.
So you graduated in 3 years like I did because we're really smart. That's awesome. What'd you study it? You know, what was a fond subject of yours in school?
You know, I actually majored in history with a minor in economics. Unfortunately, with some of the scheduling requirements that baseball had, couldn't do majors in economics. Due to class conflicts and game conflicts, but when I went back in the off seasons after I'd signed, I was able to pick up economics, which was kind of my passion and the focus I really wanted to have, you know, later on in life.
There you go. Future financial advisor, folks. You heard it here first. You got drafted by
the Florida Marlins.
The Florida Marlins.
Not
I know you've
Miami
been
Marlins.
I know you've been around. You've been what? The five teams?
Six teams.
Where to start? Give me the run through.
All right. So drafted 2010 by the formerly Florida Marlins. Spent the 11 and half of 12 season with their affiliates. Then got traded to Houston as part of a deal for Carlos Lee. Then in the off season was traded to the Dodgers. Then towards the end of the 2013 season, was traded to Philly for Michael Young. Then halfway through the offseason of 2013, was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. And then spent 14 and part of 15 with them. And then obviously now is just recently traded over here for Mark Lowe.
Wow. That's a journey, man. You were up with the Blue Jays? Is that the only other team you're up with?
Yeah, just the Blue Jays and us.
All right. So you've seen a lot of people. You've been around a lot of teams. I want to know, if you're going to go on a camping trip and you're going to bring one of your teammates, I want to know, especially, let's go right down to the bullpen. What's one guy you wouldn't bring with you?
That I wouldn't bring with me on this team? Probably Carson Smith.
Okay. I agree.
We're going camping. I don't think he could handle that. I don't think he's going to bring much to the table in terms of maybe being able to build a fire. I don't think he's going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I think if there are loud noises, he's probably going to want to end up snuggling or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Carson would be the last choice. You know, he's kind of a luxury boy, you know what I mean? And you're not going to have that camping. So, yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, I would have to either pick – I'm either going to go with Tom Wilhelmsen myself or Fernando Rodney because I feel like Rodney could just survive in the wild, like even on his own.
Yeah,
you know,
we saw him in Colorado.
Yeah.
He was back there in the trees. Yeah. I mean, that's his natural habitat.
He felt at home. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I want to know, who was your first big league strikeout?
First big league strikeout was actually Logan Forsyth for the Rays. Caught him on a fastball about 4 inches outside that got called for strike three, but I'll take it.
Yeah, take him all day. All day, every day, man. That's awesome, dude. So what's one of your, you know, most favorite experiences being with the Mariners so far?
Well, I would say it's just this team is a great team. It's a great clubhouse. Very different than where I came from. It's very unified. Everyone's
I know it's Canada, man. I know it's a little different.
Yeah. I mean, being back in the States is always a plus. Being back on the West Coast, having played up, against UW in college, it's nice to have a city that you're, somewhat familiar with and is, somewhat similar to how it is back home.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Hopefully I'll be joining you guys back in the bullpen soon, but I'm going to wrap this thing up with our signature question of the day is, what is your go-to karaoke song?
It's not really karaoke, but I would have to say Regulators by Warren G and Nate Dogg. It tends to bring down the house.
Well, first thing experience, I have karaoke that song, so I consider it a karaoke song, and it is absolutely marvelous when you do it right. Because before you know it, you can just drop the mic and people will keep on singing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those songs that not a lot of people use for karaoke. Maybe people haven't heard it in a while, but everyone knows it.
Yeah.
And then when you get up there, you kill it, and then you just drop the mic.
You want to drop the mic?
Yeah, let's drop the mic.
Mic has been dropped. Peace. We're out.
Fantastic as always. Now here's a conversation with one of the characters in Major League Baseball, Ken Hawk Harrelson. If you're not familiar with him, he was a player, broke through as a 21-year-old in 1963, played with several teams, including the Athletics and Washington and Boston, Cleveland. He was an all-star with Boston in 1968, and he's been the long-time broadcaster for the Chicago White Sox. Actually spent time as their GM for a short period of time. He's done it all in the game. He's been in it for over 50 years, and he's got some stories to tell. So he sat down with me and Rick Riz and Aaron Goldsmith, and hopefully you'll find this entertaining. We certainly did. Ken Hawk Harrelson, White Sox broadcaster.
It's the voice of the White Sox, Ken Hawk Harrelson. Thanks a lot, Hawk, for being here. Certainly appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I always love coming to Seattle. It's one of my favorite towns. I just am sad we flew in last night about 3 o'clock in the morning, so we couldn't see Puget Sound and everything. It's one of the most beautiful sights in the country.
Well, we got a good one today. Obviously, the King, Felix Hernandez on the hill, Chris Sale on the mound for the White Sox. You get a chance to see Sale every 5 days. What is it like to watch him pitch every fifth day?
It's exciting. It really is. He's a unique guy because of the kind of person he is as well. He is a wonderful human being. He's a very competitive guy. He reminds me so much of a Mark Burley, only he throws a little harder. But Chris is something. He's one of those guys, if you hit one of his guys, he's going to get two of yours. And that shows you how competitive he is. But to watch him pitch, I think a lot because I drive 200 miles a day when we're at home. I have a 100-mile commute each way. And I have plenty of chance to think about before the game and after the game. And when you're thinking about Chris Sale after he's gone out there and pitched well, and I was thinking, I faced some great left-handers. I faced Koufax. I faced Sam McDowell, who had great stuff. I don't think I've ever seen a guy with a better slider, a left-hander with a better slider than Chris Sale. When that slider is working, he's unhittable. And he would have had no problems with a Hawkeroo, I can tell you.
Hawk, you've been around the game for 56 years, so it's a chance for us to talk a little baseball history. In 1968, you were the American League Player of the Year with the Boston Red Sox. But 1969, the Mariners, the Seattle had a team called the Seattle Pilots. What was it like playing the Pilots in 1969 here in Seattle?
I played right field, so the fence was right there. I mean, the stands. They had people sitting there. I had running conversations during the game with some people out there. Some were okay, and some were not very good. But the one thing I remember about it, because we came out here, I never hit the ball well at, what did they call it?
Sixth Stadium.
Yeah. Right, Sixth Stadium. I never hit the ball that well. I didn't see the ball that well. And, a lot of people don't understand. Sometimes you walk into a ballpark, and I don't care who's pitching, you're seeing the ball well. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you swing the bat well. You hit the ball well. Other places you go that I don't care who's pitching, there can be a bad guy out there who's really struggling. You don't see the ball, and you're 0-4. But the big thing with me, I think my two favorite towns, certainly in the American League, in the United States, are Boston and Seattle to come visit because of the fact I played in Boston. And then coming to Seattle, as I said, I've got some wonderful friends out here. And Of course, Niehaus was one of my dear friends, and you have been my dear friend for so many years. And
thanks, buddy.
It's just one of those things that when you have relationships like that and you have a chance to see them occasionally, unfortunately, you know, because we only come out one time, then it really makes it a nice trip.
Hawk, so much talk over the summer in terms of the Hall of Fame and baseball surrounding Randy Johnson because he went into the Hall, of course, not long ago. And when you look at the numbers that Chris Sale has put up from a strikeout standpoint, and you look at, you kind of put the images of Sale and Randy next to each other, a similar build, albeit Randy much taller or a little bit taller. But what similarities do you see when you think about your days watching the big unit and then you watch Chris Sale on the mound?
Well, Chris Sale's got a better slider than Randy had. He's got more depth to it, and it's late, more late breaking. Randy had a good slider, and he was an awesome pitcher. There's no question about that. And Chris, you will see him tonight because he's the kind of guy, when he's pitching against Felix, he's going to be amped up. There's no question about that. That's one of the great things about the game of baseball. When you get two great competitors out there, they want to get after one another. And Chris is of that ilk. So he'll be he might hit 100 a couple times tonight. You know, last time out he hit 99 a few times when he was in the jam. And when he does get in the jam, he'll reach back because he keeps some in his back pocket. He'll pitch at 92, 93, 94. And another guy who did that very well was Pedro Martinez. You know, Pedro would pitch at 92, 93. All of a sudden, he'd get in the jam in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning or something. All of a sudden, here it comes at 97, 98. So Chris is a pitcher like that. He's not pedal to the metal all the time. He's got a terrific changeup. That has really set him apart from everybody else because of the strikeouts, is the slider and the change. And then all of a sudden that 98 or 99 fastball looks a lot better, quicker than that.
What, when you think about Felix, what comes to mind?
Great. You know, I saw him pitch one of his first games. I think it was his third or fourth start. We played him right here. Brian Anderson, he had not given up an extra base hit, I think, in his first three games. And Brian Anderson came in here, and Brian got him twice that night. He got him on a fastball and he got him on a curveball. But Jermaine Dye got a double down the right field line here, and that was the first extra base hit that Felix had given up. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to Wimpy, my partner, or DJ, Darren Jackson at the time, and I said, this guy, you know, we're looking at something special right here. He's got great poise, and his numbers will tell you how good he is. I'm not a numbers guy in baseball. You know, it's like hitters. Don't tell me what you hit. Tell me when you hit it. And pitchers, you know, give me the W's. You know, give me the wins. I don't care how many. The culture of the game is so much different today than it was. These kids are better players than we were. They don't have better teams, but they are better players than we were, better talents than we were. They can do things that we couldn't do. And people say, well, you know, I get emails and texts from former teammates and peers of mine saying, how can you say these guys are better? Well, they haven't seen them every day for 56 years like I have. And they're bigger, they're stronger. They're bigger and stronger in football. They're bigger and stronger in basketball. Why not baseball? You know, so I love to watch these kids. These kids, we have more good young talent in baseball today than I've ever seen. When you get guys like Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and all these guys, you know, and you got one of the greatest second basemen to me that's ever played in Robinson, you know, and yeah, I love to watch Nelson Cruz. So as we were talking before we went on the air, I think probably two of the biggest disappointments in Major League Baseball this year have been you guys and us because of high expectations. Mr. Expectations will get you, and I think they got all of us, because coming out of spring training, I thought you guys might win this division, and I thought we might win our division, and here we are just counting the days down now.
Hawk, you're an outstanding golfer. You love the game of golf. Will you tell us a story about your famous home run call? Put it on the board. Yes.
Well, first of all, Rick, I got $125,000 with $225,000 with a canceled check to prove I cannot play golf. But that came, my home run call came from, I got an exemption to play at Pleasant Valley in Sutton, Mass, you know, and Kezzy Mangola ran the tournament, and so I hadn't been playing. He says, Hawk, the ticket sale's not very good. Come on out and play. So I went out. I was announcing with the Red Sox. And of course, I had played there. So I go out, and I played good. I shot 68 the first day.
Wow.
And then the second day, I shot 71. So I'm in the hunt. So the third day, I go out there. I knock in about a 30-footer for a birdie on a par 3. I think Lanny Watkins and Ray Floyd were at 8-under, and that put me like at 5-under. So I was just three shots off the lead. And they didn't have the electronic scoreboards in those days. They had manual scoreboards. And they had this elderly gentleman sitting up there with a little hat on and a pipe and a book. He was reading a book. So hey. When I knocked in that 30-footer, I looked up at him. He's still reading his book. He didn't move. So I'm walking off the green. I said, put it on the board. So he startled him. You know, he got up and he put a 2 up there on the board. And then the yes came from my daughter. She was a terrific competitive diver. And, you know, I was going to all her meets when she was going off the 1-meter board. Then she was going off the 3-meter board. When she started going off that 10-meter board, you couldn't have pulled a grease tee out of my behind with a pair of pliers. I'm telling you. She'd go off that 10-meter board, and she'd do a 3.5 or 4.5 or 2.5.
Wow.
All these dives, you know, backflips and everything. And every time she'd hit it, she'd come up. I'd go, yes! So one day, I don't know who it was, hit a home run. And I'm watching him go around first base. I said, you can put it on the board, yes! And that's where that came from.
Golf and diving.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful
Just like
story.
We expected, right?
That's
exactly.
Outstanding.
Great story, buddy.
And finally, let's end things with the week that was.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week
on Mariners Magazine.
Here's the pitch, swung on, well hit, right center field. Going and going, goodbye baseball. Into the bleachers in right field. It soared right over the Boston Red Sox bullpen. Robinson Cano with a line drive. 2-run home run here in the top of the first inning. The pitch. Swing and a fly ball into deep center. Going back. Betts to the warning track. Looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Just to the right of the batter's eye. Straight away center field here at Fenway. Cano and Gutierrez going back to back here in the top of the first inning.
The 2-2 pitch to Zunino. Swings and rips it into left field. That's a base hit. And the Mariners have taken the lead. Coming home is Austin Jackson. Everybody moves up a base. And with 2 strikes, Mike Zunino comes up huge. A base hit into left field. And the Mariners now lead. It's the Mariners 9. It's the Red Sox 8. Farquhar set once again. Here's the 2-2. Slow roller. Right back to Farquhar. He's got it. Runs it over. Underhand to first. It is in time. And that is the ball game. The Mariners win a marathon here in Boston. 10-8 over the Boston Red Sox in 12 innings.
Sorry, I'm exhausted right now. You know, obviously I haven't been here real long, so whatever I can do to help out, I told them I got whatever they need. Obviously we didn't want it to get to that situation, but it did. And when it did, you know, especially going on 3 days rest, it's more about just willing yourself to do it and not worrying about anything physical and just trying to overcome it as much as you can.
The pitch to Nelly, swing and a line drive deep to left field. Strasburger going back, and this one is off the wall on a hop. Seager running third. He'll score. The throw into second, way offline. And Nelson Cruz jumping on the first pitch to him from Gonzalez. Hit a frozen rope to the base of the wall in straightaway left field. Seager scoring easily. And the Mariners have just taken a 1-0 lead here in the first. The 1-2 to Moreland. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. And there is number 500 for Iwakuma. He fanned fielder in the first for .499. And number 500, he gets Mitch Moreland. Leading off the bottom of the second. A couple of strikeouts for Hisashi Iwakuma. Nice milestone right there for Iwakuma. Strikeout number 500. And the 3-2 on the way. Swing and a ground ball to Morrison at first. He's got it. Underhand flip to Smith at the bag. And it's in time to get Moreland. And this ball game is over. The Mariners win it tonight. A final score of 3-2 over the Texas Rangers.
He wanted to go slider, but I know that team know him well. So I wanted to go something different. So I go change. I told him let's go change. He don't have a see the change. So he said I want to go breaking ball. I was like no. I got this right here. Go with the change. And it works.
2-0. Swinging. This is clocked to right field. It's got a lot of steam behind it. Garcia cocks his neck. He looks up and it's gone. Or Trumbo goes deep against Chris Sale. It's a 3-run shot in the bottom of the 7th. And the Mariners are right back into this one. It's 4-3 White Sox.
Nuñez 1-2.
Got on and missed. He gets him with the heater. A 1-2-3 inning by Vidal Nuño, who has gone a season-high 6 frames here tonight and has allowed only 1 White Sox run. The pause, the pitch. Swing, and this is clocked into left field. Cabrera moves over, can't get to it. This is off the base of the wall right by the 376 marker. Cruz scores. Here comes Cano to second. On to third. He makes a turn. The throw home is cut off. Cano is in sliding, and the Mariners have a 2-1 lead.